You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
A recent article by Mark Hume in the Globe and Mail ran under the headline, "Grizzlies Starve as Salmon Disappear." The article says conservationists and ecotourism guides are seeing far fewer bears coming to the rivers in coastal BC this fall as a result of reduced salmon runs last year, and they're calling for an immediate cancellation of the fall grizzly hunt in response to this food crisis. Chris Genovalli is Executive Director of the Raincoast Conservation Society, and he joins me on the phone this morning to talk about bears, salmon, and the fall hunt. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. How important are salmon to the health of the bear population on the coast?
Well, wild salmon are central to the grizzly bear population on the central and north coast, and the nutrition that the salmon represent, this energy transfer that is brought into these watersheds, is so essential for bears, and it's linked to their fecundity, their reproductive success, and their body size, and really the productivity of their population. It's hard to understate the importance of salmon to bears on the coast.
What would happen if that food source became more scarce?
Well, it's hard to predict exactly how it would play out, but in speaking to our senior scientist, Dr. Paul Paquette, who's recognized as one of the leading large carnivore experts in the world, he said that one of the things that would likely happen is that that reproductive success that I mentioned previously would start to wane, and that what you would see is a slow kind of reduction in the overall population size because of that. You might see over time a smaller body size, you know, on average for bears on the coast, and you know we're talking a long time frame here, but still, the implications are not good. I should say as a caveat that, you know, from for instance one poor salmon season last year to this year, it would be unlikely that there would be widespread bear die-offs, as some people have suggested. And but again, you know, this is not a good situation. I mean, we saw this a year ago as we spent most of September on our research vessel visiting a lot of these salmon-producing systems on a daily basis on the Central Coast, and last year was really troubling. I mean, there was clearly a lack of salmon. In fact, it ended up being one of the worst years for salmon returns on the Central Coast. And we had seen the same phenomenon last year of a lack of bear sightings in these areas, and it seems to be continuing to a certain degree this year. Those are the reports that we're getting from our biologists in the field and from ecotourism operators that we're in regular contact with.
But you don't think we should necessarily jump from saying that there's a lack of sightings to saying that the bears are, I think the supposition was that they were starving in their dens because they didn't put enough fat on to last the winter.
I don't think you can make that assertion at this point. And, bears are very adept at survival. They will find other foods to forage on if there's a lack of that primary food source. So I think the main concern would be, that you're not going to have the females reproducing like they normally would. And it's interesting. I mean, there have been some reports from that we've gotten from our own biologists and other people locally that they're seeing a lack of cubs of the year. So, you know, it's just hard to make concrete statements because there's not a lot of, first of all, baseline information about these bears to begin with. I mean, there's really a lack of data in terms of the you know, where they started off from in terms of their status on the coast. And, you know, even to this day, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of research done. And, you know, we're trying to answer some of these questions. I mean, we've launched a multi-year research program this spring looking at the role of salmon in these ecosystems, and in particular the role of salmon and how that impacts large carnivores and the competition amongst those carnivores, as well as the competition from the human factor in terms of human exploitation of salmon. So, you know, we're trying to get some answers to try to inform the situation. You know, I would warn that, you know, making kind of unconditional statements is probably not warranted at this point.
To what extent does Fisheries and Oceans Canada consider bears in particular and the ecosystem in general in their fish management plans?
Well, I think DFO's management of the salmon fishery is, first of all, very human-centric. The maximum sustained yield model that they use to set quotas and manage the fishery really does not account whatsoever for the needs of non-human consumers of salmon, such as terrestrial carnivores, bears, wolves, and other terrestrial species. I think that's one of the big flaws in it. And as well, the fishery is really managed for commercial success, and not in terms of looking at it from an ecosystem basis. And there's also problems, I think, with some of the assumptions that are made within the MSY model. One of our salmon biologists is actually right now working on a paper for peer-reviewed publication dissecting the MSY model.
What is MSY?
That's maximum sustained yield, and that's the kind of the framework that DFO uses for managing the fishery. So, you know, I guess not to be too lengthy in my answer here, but DFO, the bottom line is they're not looking at the needs of the broader ecosystem or non-human species that are consumers of salmon, and I think that's a big flaw in the whole management of the fishery.
So we've got an uncertain future for the salmon. Not sure what's going to happen there, with an uncertain effect on grizzly bears, and then into this mix we throw the fall hunt.
Yes, and I think this has always been an issue that, you know, you have an unknown population of bears and a mortality from trophy hunting that's imposed upon that population. And again, as you know, I mentioned before, we really don't know how many bears there are on the coast. There's never been a comprehensive, systematic census of grizzlies. It would be very difficult, very expensive. These are elusive animals, and you're dealing with a really rugged landscape as well. We've been advocating for a long time to have a moratorium placed on the hunt, and We actually were able to get that back in 2001. Unfortunately, the current government overturned that moratorium. But, you know, we continue to believe it's, you know, it's not just an issue of, you know, what might be the impacts directly to bears over time from trophy hunting, but you know, there's ethical issues involved here as well. This is something that I think gets lost in the debate, and there's also what most people might not think of, economic issues. I mean, the ecotourism industry, which is a burgeoning sector of the economy on the coast, is based on wildlife viewing to a great degree, and that wildlife viewing is centered around bear viewing. The ecotourism operators that function up there clearly have been outspoken in their concerns around the hunt. They want to see it stopped. They see it as a threat to their business, both current and future. And, you know, we did a comparative economic study back in 2003 looking at the annual revenue that's brought in from bear viewing as opposed to the revenue brought in from the guide outfitting associated with the grizzly hunt. And even then, at that point, the bear viewing component was bringing in twice as much money. So there's... You just want to look at it in economic terms, which this government seems to value a lot. You would have to come to the conclusion that not killing these bears is going to be better for the economy of coastal BC than allowing them to continue to be shot.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, Chris. It's been very informative, as always.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
I've been speaking with Chris Genovalli. He's Executive Director of Raincoast Conservation Society.